combine business.
My business.
With pleasure.
Damn, that sounds sexy.
No funny business, no conversation.
And now, back to America's business coach, Coach Ron Tunick.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank. I'm sitting in for Coach Ron Tunick, who's over in Las Vegas, speaking to a large crowd of paying customers there, gaining his wisdom and so forth. I'm joined on Mondays, as always, by our co-host, Margaret McLean. Margaret, how are things back east for you?
They're wonderful. No snow.
No snow is always a good thing.
Yeah.
That is right. And we've covered a lot of different topics on today's show, but this topic, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. Our next guest, Linda Frucci, founded No Pudge Foods back in 1995, and she served as the chief cook and bottle washer for 10 years. She and her husband and their pound puppy, Zoe, happily divide their time between Wolfsboro, New Hampshire, and Brooklyn, New York. The Pig in Me is her first book, and it highlights her experiences when a personal bankruptcy robbed her family of financial security. Lindsay decided to go way back onto marital and family bliss, was to start her own business that would make gobs and gobs of money. Out of the mantra, there must be something I can do, and a passion for fudge brownies made it hard for her to zip her jeans, the idea was born for healthy brownies for the masses. So in a leap of faith, born on the wings of innocence and naivete, she founded No Pudge Foods Incorporated, which she owned for 10 years, and when she sold it, her fat-free fudge brownie mixes were sold in every major grocery store chain in the United States. Joining us from the greater New Hampshire area, hi, Lindsay, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you?
Well, I am doing terrific, and I love your company's name. It's just No Pudge Foods Incorporated. That is great. But what's more interesting to me is your whole story. You know, they say that necessity is the mother of invention, and they also know that mothers are the best at improvising, better than anybody else in the world. So tell us, how did you make that transition from wife and mother to food industry magnate?
Well, I did it obviously slowly because I had no idea what I was doing. I went into this thinking that I needed to do something to help our family. We had gone through a bankruptcy. Life was not great. My husband was back to work but gone Monday through Friday, and I just decided I needed to do something to make a lot of money. And in my head, that meant owning my own business. I really had literally no idea what that entailed and what that meant. And I went forward really one baby step at a time. I didn't allow myself to sort of look at the big picture, because every time I did, I'd panic. So I took it one step at a time. I established a comfort zone, learned as I went, and then got to a point where after I began to feel more comfortable and began to have a bit of a history and a track record with my baby company, began to take bigger steps. But it was a process, and it was a lot of hard work.
Well, by your own admission, you sort of took a build it and they will come attitude when it came to starting your fudge-free brownie mixes. And you were, by your own admission, you were naive when you were going into business. What big challenges did you face when you first launched that business, the daunting challenges that you never even considered before you jumped into business?
Well, money. I started this company with $5,000.
Wow.
And that really didn't understand what the cost would be. And so I promised my husband when I started it that I would not create debt, because the other huge challenge was that he did not approve, not even sort of, because where I saw a money-making venture in my naivete, he's an MBA-trained guy who saw a money pit. So that was the second big challenge. I needed to find, because I knew nothing about business or how to start a business or how to run a business, I needed to find support. I needed to establish a support system, and I needed to find people who would teach me what I didn't know, but I didn't have any money. So that was a huge challenge of finding the people who were willing to help me and not get paid for it. And I started out there with SCORE, which is the Service Corps of Retired Executives, and I was very fortunate to find two gentlemen, older gentlemen, retired gentlemen, who really adopted me. And I didn't know what a spreadsheet was. And they taught me everything, all the little ins and outs about starting a company from the ground up, and it didn't cost me anything.
Wow, that is phenomenal. Now, did these guys from SCORE, did they take equity in your company as payment?
No, nothing. They took a lot of love and gratitude.
Wow.
I mean, these gentlemen are now in their mid-80s, and I see them on a regular basis. I still continue to meet them for lunch. And as the business grew, it got to the point where they became more of an objective sounding board for me, because I knew that they had no issues with me other than wanting me to do well. And so there was a perfect sounding board as the company grew, where they no longer were involved in teaching me, where I had sort of outgrown them from that point of view. I never outgrew them from the point of view of knowing that they were always there for me and would listen to whatever I needed.
So wow.
That was great.
Now, that is great. Our guest is Lindsay Frucci, author of the book, The Pig in Me, a memoir. And Lindsay, so many different things from that last answer, but I'm going to come back to what you said about you started and you got into your comfort zone, which so many entrepreneurs do. The problem is they never get out of that comfort zone. How did you get out of that comfort zone to challenge yourself so that you could grow the business, take it to the next level, and then beyond that level to the next level until finally you sold the business some 10 years later?
It's not easy. I think that that is probably the biggest hurdle that any entrepreneur has. And for me, it was a bigger hurdle than many, because I really knew nothing. And you get to the point, I think, or at least I did, where I realized that without taking a leap, without taking some sort of a leap of faith, that things weren't going to change, that I was working very long hours and not making the progress I wanted to make. And at each major leap, I realized that the only way I was going to get to where I wanted to go was to step outside my comfort zone. And every time I stepped outside my comfort zone, whether I succeeded or failed, I survived. And that gave me a huge amount of self-confidence to try it again, because I failed a lot. I mean, this sounds like a fairy tale. I grew it from kitchen table to multi-million-dollar business. But it was anything but. I mean, that's the sort of overview fairy tale. But it was a lot of hard work and a lot of disappointments and a lot of failures. But I learned to keep going.
And that is an important lesson. Our guest is Lindsay Frucci. So, Lindsay, you mentioned something else that I found very interesting, because you had just faced a bankruptcy. Your husband had to take a corporate job and was away, actually, 5 days a week. And as you said in an earlier answer, he was not terribly supportive of this business that you were starting. So what was the catalyst that moved you forward with this business? Because you weren't getting the love at home and support that you needed for the business. Your husband was away 5 days a week. You had the family to contend with. That alone would be enough for most people. How and where did you find the energy and the motivation to also be the CEO of your own company?
I grew up in a family where, very conservative family, it was not necessary for girls to go to college, that kind of a situation. I'd always been told I couldn't accomplish this or I couldn't accomplish that. And I was 44 when I started this business, and it started out as I wanted to make life better for my family. And once I got a hold of the idea and I began to move forward and I found my two SCORE guys who believed it was such a great idea and believed in me so completely that I began, something changed inside of me that said I needed to do this for myself. And it became certainly not all consuming, because I had two little kids.
Yeah.
And start the company, I was selling real estate, because that's how I raised the funds to start it. So I didn't have a lot of time. But my motivation was, I kept thinking, if I don't try this, if I don't give it my all, how will I feel 20 years from now when I think, what if? You know, what if I had really given it my all? And so that sort of pushed me forward, this determination to prove to myself that I could at least try this, that I wouldn't back away. Whether I failed or not would not be the issue. The issue would be whether or not I gave it everything I had. And it was the first time in my life that I had, which sounds horrible, as girls these days are raised so differently, but I had never been raised to believe I could do anything like this. And I needed to prove it to myself as much as anybody. I didn't realize that at the beginning, but that's what it became.
Wow.
I'm so impressed. That's just amazing. And it's amazing that not only could you build a business like this, but then you could write about it. I mean, tell us about that. How long did it take you to write the book on your experiences? The Pig and Me, I love the title, by the way. Fabulous title, The Pig and Me. People have to buy this book. You're a great writer, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, it's funny. I started writing the book the same way I started the company, not really understanding that that it takes a village to coin a phrase.
Yes.
I sat down to write this book. I just sat down at my computer. Friends had been pushing me to do it because, Margaret, you've read the book, and you know there are some stories in there that if I didn't swear to you were true, you wouldn't believe them. I mean, there's some crazy stories, and I had a lot of friends that followed in the industry that would say to me, you have to write this down. No one would believe that you have to write this down. I sat down at my computer about 2 years after I sold the business because a friend had been pushing me to do it. And I just sat down and started to write. Got about 40 pages written and hated every second of it. I mean, I was floundering and I kept thinking to myself, who's going to read this? No one will like this. And that same friend said to me, you need someone who knows what they're doing to read this, to let you know whether this is, because I was ready to give it up. And he said to me, no, promise me before you do that you will talk to this editor. So I did. And she read what I had written so far, and she became a phenomenal cheerleader. And what she did was she taught me to stop writing from my mind and to start writing from my heart. And what she said was, just get the story down. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about chronology, though I'm a chronological type of person, so I did. But just write from your heart and get the entire story down, and then we'll worry about turning it into a book. So my first draft was twice the length, a little bit over.
I hear you.
Yeah, as a writer, you understand. And then I went back and working with her, she taught me how to cut it in half. I mean, and she was wonderful because I'm very stubborn and I wouldn't let her rewrite it or rewrite any parts of it. So she learned to say things like, this needs some dialogue, show me, don't tell me, pretend you're telling the story to your best girlfriend. And two revisions later, it was done.
Wow.
It took 3 years. It took 3 years. That makes it sound very quick. It was 3 long years from the beginning to getting it published.
That's not bad, actually, for a first book. That's not bad.
Congratulations. Really? Oh, good.
No, it's not. Better. I'm not going to tell you how long it took me for my very first one.
Yeah.
Longer than that.
And you know that, but once I started writing from my heart, and once I started just trying to tell the story in a very comfortable, for me, casual way, I ended up loving every second of it. And to me, the greatest compliment I get from people who know me, and I hear this so often, they say, it sounds like you're sitting at the kitchen table with me and we're just chatting. And that makes me feel good because that was my goal. I didn't want it fancy or contrived or fussy.
Our guest is Lindsay Frucci, author of the book, The Pig in Me, a memoir. Lindsay, looking back now on the whole experience of starting and owning your own business, knowing what you know now, what advice would you have for would-be entrepreneurs who are maybe considering starting their own business in this economic environment?
I think the number one thing is they have to believe. They have to believe in themselves. They have to believe in their idea because it's a hard road. And number two, they have to get support. I mean, those two guys that I stumbled upon at SCORE who had experience in the industry, they believed in me, and that was huge. They also guided me because you also need someone who can help you see the forest for the trees. On a more practical matter, I would say be thrifty. My kitchen table was my desk. I used plastic milk crates for filing cabinets. I shared the computer with the kids and would hide in the broom closet to make important phone calls if the kids were home from school, literally.
I've done that before.
I didn't go out and spend money on an office. I didn't hire employees until I absolutely had to. I spent money on packaging with bright colors because that, to me, made that was what was going to speak to the consumer. But I didn't spend money on things that I didn't need to spend money on.
That is great. Our guest has been Lindsay Frucci, author of The Pig and Me, a memoir. Lindsay, you've probably intrigued a lot of people with your story. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
They can go to lindsayfrucci.com, and that's LindsayFrucci. LindsayFrucci.com. There's an excerpt from the book there, and they can find out more about it. It's also available pretty much everywhere, bookstores and Amazon.
Oh, that is great. Lindsay, thank you so much for being our special guest on The Business of Life. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay,
thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Margaret. Bye.